They don't care about theology. The practice without theology leads to aberration, aberration doctrines, and it gives a good feeling because we know practical stuff, but feeling, you cannot go by feeling because that can lead astray into wrong doctrines, and that can be very dangerous for the soul. That's why we need to teach the whole counsel of God, not according to the denominational opinions or according to our opinions, but according to God's truth, which means even if we don't understand and does not make any logic according to our standard, we need to tell the truth as God is about logic. Now let's begin with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. We are going to get into a lot of practical stuff now. I'm going to cover just a little bit. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2 from the Geneva, original Geneva Bible. Therefore, being prisoner in the Lord, pray you that you walk worthy of the vocation whereunto you are called. Verse 2, with all humbleness of mind and meekness, with long suffering, supporting one another through love. Now, verse 1 says, therefore, being a prisoner in the Lord. Paul, a prisoner in the Lord. How is it to be a prisoner on the Lord? What does it mean to be a prisoner of the Lord? Prisoners suffer in the flesh. It means Paul's suffering here, suffering for Christ as being a prisoner. Is it a good thing to suffer for Christ? Yes, it is. It's a glorious thing to suffer for Christ. The martyrdom of saints is more glorious than all the fleshly pleasures in life. The true Christian in God's service will suffer in this earth for the sake of God. Sometimes it may look as if God has abandoned the believers, because sometimes we suffer even so hard that even sometimes we can even taste death. Probably like a separation of Christ, maybe thinking that, what has God done to me? It looks like He has abandoned us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all this, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And it says here, for I am persuaded, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall also be separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, those are very comforting scriptures for us. When we are going through trials, the love of God shall never be separated from us. Now verse 1 says here, I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures, and you may have to write it down because of the time, and I'm going to go through pretty quick. It says here, verse 1, pray that you walk worthy of the vocation whereunto you are called. What do you mean by vocation? In today's English, if you look up in a dictionary and see under vocation, it means an occupation which you are trained, a people doing the same kind of work. But according to Webster's dictionary in 1931, it means a calling. It means a summon. It means a divine invitation. It means a divine calling from God. We were by nature, the children of the devil. We were dead in sin, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. We were lost. We were on our way to hell. Then in God, in His mercy and grace, He called us to worship Him, and serve Him. So here we are called, there's a worthy calling. God called us, it's a worthy calling. He called us from darkness. When we were dead, He brought us to the marvelous light of Christ. He called us. He gave us life, eternal life. Paul is urging the believers that we need to walk worthy of our calling. The word walk means to conduct our life, our behavior, how we live as Christians. Has to be a godly life. If we are called by God, then we would not be living like unbelievers because we are called by God. Because we will live a godly life because we are called by God. A life that is pleasing to Him as we are called by Him to Him. The result of our calling is godliness. He called us. He gave us a new heart. Now there is godliness. It means godliness is really means to live in obedience to His will. We are called to be saints, meaning the opposite of a worldly lifestyle, but to live a holy lifestyle. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2 says, 1 Corinthians 1:2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Then 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 says, we all know this scripture, 2 Timothy 1:9, who had saved us and called us with a holy calling. And here we see we are called out of the world, from the fellowship of the world, to the fellowship of Christ. That's a separation. It's a holy calling. That we would not be compromised in participating in the worldly ways. Especially, of course, this Christmas season, I wonder how many people who are called Christian follow the ways of the world and walk according to the flesh instead of walking according to the Spirit of God. Well, if you don't compromise with the world will hate you. Many will say, I want peace. I don't want problems. The easy way to get out is to get into the flesh and walk according to the convenience instead of being obedient to God. A lot of times we try to get away according to our convenience. We want to evade problems. We don't want to face situations. So we get into this convenience. Calvin talks about this in Genesis chapter 26 a lot. In John chapter 15 verse 18, Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And John 15:19 says, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you, because there is a place where you are not going to compromise with the world. You're not going to go according to conveniences. You're going to go according to your, just the opposite to your flesh. So there will be problems. That's natural for Christians to face problems. As a Christian, you will face problems. If you are not making problems, then you're compromising. It's really important to see that. Now, God did not call us for convenience, but for His obedience of His will. So we need to pick up the cross and deny ourselves and follow Him. Instead of conforming to this world, we need to be a light to the world. That our behavior and conduct will be godly and Christ-like. But the hypocrites have two faces, one in the church and one in the world. So they can wear whatever it fits according to the place and the situation. So, But godly behavior in the, you know, is so important that we had to practice all the theology what we learn. Otherwise, what good is it? So, verse 2 says here that we are called with all humbleness of mind. Or in King James says, with all lowliness and gentleness. I'm going to use only the word humility today, or humbleness, or lowliness. Next week we are going to go through on gentleness, because so much on humility. Here we see the fruit of our calling. The fruit of our calling, the fruit of salvation, the godly life. John Calvin said, humility is the foundation of whole Christian character. Thought about it, made a lot of sense. Because everything flows from humility. Even Jesus Christ, the first action he took leaving heaven was humility. This is absolutely true. The first thing that happened when God calls us to him is when he regenerates, he calls us from darkness to the light. The first thing that happened is humility. You're humbled. Genesis chapter 18, verse 27. Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which I am but dust and ashes. When God speaks, when God calls, you realize you are nothing but dust and ashes. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, when Isaiah saw the Lord, then he said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I had dwelt in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the Lord's of hosts. Now, what is the opposite of humility? Is pride, of course. The opposite of humility is high and lofty, pride and arrogant. Humility means low-minded. Humility comes from the result of our salvation. That's the first fruit you will see in a person when a person is changed. There's a humbleness, there's a humility in the spirit. Is salvation, now let me tell you why humility comes from as a result of our salvation. This is very important to understand. If salvation was done by human works, then there is some kind of power in me that I come to Christ because of some kind of power that in me that I have chose Christ because something that is good in me. So something that I can boast of my salvation. But the Bible says the opposite. Ephesians 2:8 says, for grace you have been saved through faith, and that of not yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. That's the opposite. That's the opposite. Boasting, pride, arrogance, these are opposite of humility. So when God called us, we did not deserve to be called. We see our utter unworthiness in us, and we are brought to law. So in humility, we will see our unworthiness in us. Remember, in Luke chapter 18, verse 13, the tax collector and the Pharisee, how they went to pray, and the publican standing afar off would not even lift up so much his eyes to heaven. He smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I'll tell you, this man went down to the house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalt himself will be abased, and that he who humbles himself will be exalted. And here we see true humility. There is a sense of unworthiness when we come to the presence of God. So when we are regenerated in salvation, we see this. If the Lord tells you, ask whatever shall and I will give it to you, what will you tell the Lord? And if he comes and tells you, ask whatever and I will give it to you, What will you ask him? Will you tell him, God, give me a lot of money so I can pay all my bills, debts, and everything. I can be, you know, serve you for the rest of your life. Be honest. Give me a beautiful home. Beautiful home so I can have all the comforts and everything, you know. I can live a good life. God asked this question from King Solomon. And King Solomon said, you have chosen a great people too numerous to be numbered and counted. Give me understanding how to discern from right from wrong. This is having a lowliness of mind. God, give me how to know what is right and wrong. That's humility. That is having a lowliness of mind. We need to understand there's nothing of ourselves. What do you have in yourself? I was reading Calvin's Institute. One of the questions he asks is, what do you have in yourself? And Calvin answers and says, you don't have anything. Only thing what you have is sin. But then Calvin goes on to say, the only thing what we have is sin. But once the Lord comes into your heart, there's a righteousness that comes from Christ. That righteousness has been charged to you. So we become humble. The reason we become humble is there's nothing in us. Only thing what we have is sin. Now the righteousness that comes from Christ, it came from Jesus, not in us. So we are humble because it didn't come from us. So true humility is not an act or pretend to be humble. It's not trying to pretend to be humble or speaking softly kind of or showing a kind of an outward love but full of pride inside. That's not true humility. Humility, you cannot act. This humility comes from a regenerated heart that is a born-again Christian, that is a new man in Christ Jesus. Humility, you can act for a while, but you cannot act all the time. When problems come, God is going to test your humility. You will not stand. James chapter 4 verse 6 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he said, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now, this is really, really important subject. Because as I said, humility is like a foundation. It's the whole of Christian character. It's based on humility. It's really important. And a lot of times, we take it so lightly. But if you want to grow in your sanctification in this life, this is a really important subject. So you need to take it to your heart importantly. Humility is realizing who we are in lowliness in mind. Remember, Exodus chapter 3:11, Moses said to God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I, Lord? That is true humility. Not saying, well, I'm somebody because God chose me. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 18, David said unto Saul, who am I and what is my life or my father's family in Israel that I should be the son-in-law to the king? In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 6, Jeremiah said, when God called Jeremiah said, oh Lord, behold, I cannot speak. I'm just a child. Thinking, who am I? Luke chapter 1:43, remember Elizabeth, when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, Elizabeth said, and whence this is to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me. Who am I, that the mother of the Lord come and visit me? That's humility. John chapter 3 verse 30, John the Baptist said, When people, disciples came to John the Baptist and said, all your disciples are going to Jesus and he's baptizing them. And John said, he must increase, but I must decrease. That's humility. So humility is the low. What happened to your heart will affect the mind. What happened to your heart will affect the mind, will affect your attitude, your mood, your thinking, and your behavior. So humility is the lowliness of the mind. It will affect your mind. It's an absence of our own powers and willing to give up our rights and taking up a lower position. It means we are willing to give up our rights and willing to take a lower position. Our Lord Jesus Christ is a perfect example as he gave up his high position in heaven and came down to this earth and took a low position for the sake of us. That is humility. Humility is the mother of all Christian character. So humility is also, we have to see the context of humility is really considering others more than yourself. Just like how Jesus did. Okay? We're going to see that. Now, Acts chapter 20 verse 19, Apostle Paul said, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptation which befell me by the lying in wait for the Jews. Even when you go through a lot of persecution, you do it in humility. Now, Philippians chapter 2 verse 3, Apostle Paul said, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. This is humility. How, just like how the Lord Jesus left heaven, came down to earth, okay, from a high position, emptying himself of his glory, taking a very low position, coming to us, he thought more about us than himself. That is humility. Paul goes on to say, that's why Paul went on to say, think about others more than yourself. That is humility, because we see the example of Christ. Let me tell you a true story that happened in China, where a Christian had a rice field on a hill. You know, he had a rice field on a hill. And his neighbor had a rice field on this hill just below his rice field. So his rice field was on top and his neighbor's was below him, his rice field. But there was a stream that ran at the bottom of the hill. So you got to pump water, you know, to the top of the hill to for the rice field. And but it's not an easy thing to do, to pump water, so the water will go right to his field because it's on top of a mountain. So he had to, every day he has to pump water. But one day when the Christian noticed that his neighbor had made a hole in the dividing wall and drained all the water from his field, from the top, to the bottom of his neighbor's field. So the Christian didn't have water. The water he pumped, the neighbor went and put a hole. So everything drained to the neighbor's field. What will you do if you were in the Christian farmer's shoes? What will you do? That's the first thing that came to my mind. How will you react? Think about it. How will you react? Will you get into the flesh? Or will you get into the spirit? I'm going to tell him what he did. I'm not going to take this anymore. I'm going to rebuke him in the Lord. I'm going to use the Bible, you wicked people. Like that? Or, we are talking humility here. How do you react? How will you react? The first thing the Christian farmer did was he prayed. That's the first thing you should do. You pray. Get on your knees and pray. So, when you pray, you won't act in the flesh. Otherwise, your mouth will come first before you do anything else. You will say the wrong things. So first thing you do, you get on and pray. And then, once he prayed, he had a peace. He talked with some of his friends, get godly counsel, pray. He went the following day. You know what he did? He first pumped water to his neighbor's field. And then he pumped water to his field on top of, you know, after that. Now, you know, it's not an easy thing to do to pump water first to your neighbor's field and then to pump water to your field, because that's a lot of work. And from that day, his water stayed in the field. But he had more labor to do, had to take care of his field and the neighbor's field in water. Then in time went on, his neighbor made some inquiries. His neighbor was stunned, was amazed at this Christian farmer's behavior. He couldn't believe it, that this guy is doing like this. The neighbor was convicted of his sins and saw the godly behavior of the Christian farmer, and the neighbor became a Christian. See? That's humility. That's a good lesson. Remember it for the rest of your life. That's a true story. Humility is refusing to insist our rights and putting our neighbor's interests before our own. When we have food in front of us, are you the first one to fill up your belly? You don't care about your neighbor and say, I really like this one, I better get it before he finishes. That's not humility. You are more interested of your needs than your neighbor. This is not Christianity. John Calvin said, all the weapons of impiety must be bruised, broken, and burnt in the fire. We should beat our pride daily. Because there's a pride in all of us that wants to come out. And we need to beat it daily. There's so much pride, greediness, and covetousness in the church today. When some Christian leaders, this is another true story, for some Christian leaders, they got together and they went to a restaurant to eat. And everybody thought they were all going to pay their own bill. So everybody ordered from the menu. They ordered according to what they can afford from the menu. So they can, when the lunch was finished, the waiter came and brought the bill. But the one person stood up and said, don't worry, you don't have to pay because I have already paid this bill. Then some of these Christian leaders, they said, if we only knew that you had paid the bill, we would have ordered more expensive foods and eaten more. Now, it may sound like a joke, but in truly thinking, this is this thinking, they were not care about their neighbor. They were thinking of their own belly. They were thinking of their own self. That's not humility. It's not humility. That's not Christian life. We should not think about our belly first, but of our neighbors first. Humility shines when you treat your neighbor first before you. That's where humility shines. Now, this is one thing really lacking in the church. Really lacking. And, you know, it's easy to hear this and later forget it and get into our own behavior again. So these are things that we need to take it. And sometimes if you are used to a certain pattern of behavior, you need to do a lot of praying, a lot of fasting. And, you know, take it seriously. The Lord will change the hearts. Humility is submission to God's word. Humility is submission to God's word. Luke chapter 10 verse 39, remember, and Mary, and she had a sister called Mary, she also sat at Jesus' feet and heard the word. You know, sitting at the feet of Jesus is humility, and hearing the word is submission to God's word. Humility is submitting to one another. Humility is submitting to one another. That is humility. Nobody likes to submit to another person, because, you know, we think our own higher than the other person. We want our own way. We got our privacy and so forth like that in this culture. But God is about culture. Humility is submitting to one another. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, like you younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Ye, all of you, subject to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Now, God is not going to hear the proud. He's not going to hear. Maybe when you pray, God will not hear. He's going to close his ears, because God hates the proud man's prayer. Isaiah chapter 57 verse 15 says, for thus says the high and lofty, one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. A lot of times God says in the Old Testament, okay, now you're living in comfort now. Now let me tell you, when you go through problems, you will come to me and pray, and I'm going to answer you. When the problem comes, people will come, oh God, you know, God says, I'm going to answer you. So a lot of times when things are fine, you will live in fine and dandy. When problem comes, that's the time we fall into prayer. And problem comes, that's the time we realize. So it's so important that the word of God, how we need to submit to the word of God. Remember the 10 virgins who professed to follow Christ? 10 virgins professed to follow Christ. Of this number, how many were really professed to follow Christ? Only 5. 5 were only real Christians. The other 5 were not. They were hypocrites. How many years sometimes you have slept in God's vineyard? You heard sermons year after year, month after month, week after week, and still many are continuing to sleep in God's vineyard. It's high time to wake up. Awake, all who do not awake in time will suddenly awake in hell. This is great danger of being deceived and thus only dreaming of heaven. The person who quoted that is Asahel Nettleton, a Puritan. Do you want a true blessing? Do you want a true blessing? Yeah. How? You want a true blessing? Yeah. Many would like a true blessing. You know what is a true blessing is? It's not having wealth, not having money, not having all the pleasures of, that's not wealth. Satan will give that too. The true blessing, Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verse 28. If you want a true blessing, read Luke 11, 28. Luke 11, 28. And Jesus said, ye rather blessed are they which hear the word of God and keep it. Simple as that. You hear the word of God and then keep it, then you are blessed. If you hear the word of God and forget it, you're not blessed. You're not blessed. But if you hear the word of God and keep it in your heart and obey the word of God, then you're blessed. Now, let's go through what we learned. What is humility? Remember? Spend about 40 minutes on humility. What is it? What is humility? How is it very important to us? What's the best example of humility? Where do you find? What chapter? Philippians chapter 2, where Andy read today. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through self-ambition or conceit, but lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Then Apostle Paul, verse 5 said, let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus, he gives the example of Jesus. That is humility. Now, the question is, how have you fared in this passage in your life? What kind of work that you need to do when you compare the scriptures, what we read, and how do you look at it, and how do you measure yourself here? And I see that, you know, it's so important, first thing, how we need to give glory to God for salvation. If we really see that, what God did for us, that is it, basically. Other things are natural. It will come out natural. You don't have to work on humility. Then it becomes a works thing. You've got to see what God has done for you. If you really see that, what God has done for you, you come to His presence and you become humble. Automatically, immediately, you will be humble. And if you know that Christ is here, don't you become humble before Christ? Yes, you would be, right? But don't you know that Christ is here in this very presence? Don't you know that the Bible says that the Holy Spirit lives in you? If the Holy Spirit lives in you, don't you become humble? You would, right? But how is it that, so you don't have to do anything to become humble? Do you? No. You don't have to do anything. It's looking at yourself, what the scriptures say, that's enough. It's already a done deal for us to see it and be convicted of our sins. Once we realize it, once we know, you'll be automatically, naturally, you'll be humble. So if you really know that Christ lives in me, the Spirit of God lives in my heart, oh my goodness, if I know that, the very words that I'm going to talk to people would be different, right? Because you know Christ is there. We live in the very presence of God. If we live in the very presence of God, you will be humble. The Word of God says that. That to live in the very presence of God. Because you cannot evade God. You know, you live, have the conscience of Christ. You clothe Christ all the time. You know you're a Christian, Christ-like. So if that's the case, what do you have to do? So humility is something you don't go and say, God, I got to really work on my humility now. You know, it's not a work-oriented thing. It's realizing what God has done for you. And if God has done for you, then God lives in you. God, you are living in the presence of God. You know, take it literally. The Bible says that. But the problem is, we don't take the Word of God literally. What the Word says. Do you really believe that the Holy Spirit is in you? And if it's in you, then how come lot of times we don't live in humility? That means you don't believe it. You believe, but not really, literally. I don't see God in that sense. So that's why we need to take these words, precious words, literally to our hearts. Because as I said, John chapter 6 verse, I believe 63, says, Jesus said, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. It is life. So it's so important How we need to take these things so importantly. As we go on the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse next one, how we are going to see meekness or gentleness that comes out of humility. And out of humility comes meekness. Out of humility comes long-suffering. Out of humility comes love. All these things come out of humility. Meekness, gentleness, long-suffering. You go through a trial or a difficult situation, two people, their heads clashes, their character clashes, their opinions clashes. How do you deal with it? And when the pressure comes, real pressure comes and hits you, how do you deal with it? Long suffering. It's not just suffering, it's long suffering. But you need to have humility first. Think about the other person first. Yeah. Is it easy to follow Christ? Will you take the broad road or the narrow road? Which road are you taking? Jesus said, narrow is the way to life. And you need to agonize to enter. That means it is tough. It is very difficult. You know why narrow is the way? That is, it is tough. You have to agonize. You know the reason why? This flesh. Got to crucify this flesh. Is it easy to crucify the flesh? I'll tell you. This flesh wants to take the broad road. My feelings, my conveniences. I don't want problems. I want peace. So I'll take the bigger route. Peace, everything. Everything is fine now. That's not the solution. Take the narrow road. When you take the narrow road, you'll be persecuted. You go through problems. You go through difficulties. According to the religion of America, there's some problem in you now. But according to the Bible, Jesus said, you're on the right track. That's how all the apostles, the disciples, they all went through persecution. The true, all godly shall be persecuted. Are we exempted then in this nation? Absolutely not. So humility is one of the most basic ingredients that is so important to Christian life, and it happens when we see what God has done to a wretched, miserable sinner like us. Then we say, wow, He did this. He gave the example of what Jesus did. And now we set the example to the others, our brothers and sisters here, beginning in the house of God, then to the outsiders. They will see, wow, this woman is a godly woman. This man is a godly man. And I don't know. And people will see the light of Christ shining. And you are the salt of the earth, lights of the world. And people will see a godly behavior. And then people, you don't have to evangelize. You don't have to tell. What you tell, you are proclaiming in your life. And then people will come to God. Remember, that farmer. That is humility. Long suffering. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God. It's so powerful, like a double-edged sword. And how we need to be convicted of ourselves, Lord. How we have been so greedy, prideful, arrogant, and walking in this flesh. Father, we ask, Lord, that we would see the truth of the word, Lord, and how your will conflict with our will, how your spirit conflict with our flesh, how your ways conflict with the worldly ways. It is all opposition to your ways. But God, how we need to walk according to your ways, according to your spirit, according to your truth. So, Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that you would give us a grace to follow your word. That you would give us a grace, Lord, to live a humble, low-minded life. That we would set examples to the others who doesn't know you. That you be exalted and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.